Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited because I have another founder of a company. I have Michael Mara, the founder of Entree. It's an incredible app. You need to download it. That's E-N-T-R-E. Michael, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Sean. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So obviously you're not 50 years old. So what got you started on your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, it was, it was a weird kind of scenario that happened because I never really thought much about being an entrepreneur. And then I got into, I used to be a civil engineer. So as I graduated college 6 years ago now, it was one of those things where I got into the job and started working, every day. And it just, I kind of felt like I was just going through the motions and I was just really questioning, what did I really want? And, I've always been interested in business and innovation and creativity and stuff. So that led me on this crazy journey over the last 6 years now to starting a few businesses and get into a few different industries like real estate and marketing. And then now doing what I'm doing now, which is building this massive network for entrepreneurs and, building out this tech platform.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got some amazing stuff going on. So tell me, let's just talk about maybe your first startup. What did you learn in your first startup that is helping you with this current startup? Because everybody thinks like they've got to start with the world's greatest idea. And I'm like, no, just start with something. Because even if it fails or doesn't end up being all that you wanted it to be, it will still help you two or three startups down the road.
100%. Yeah, I would actually encourage most people, knowing what I know now, I would encourage most people to just work at a startup, right? Like find someone who just raised a bunch of money, find like a company that you like where they're going, you like the idea, you like the founder, and try to work for them.
And yeah, I agree with you. That's the perfect scenario.
You'll learn so, if I would have done that, it would have been incredible, right? I took the route like thinking I could figure it out on my own, which I have, but it's taken longer. And I also think to the other point is you don't have to build a $1 billion tech company, right? The first things that I got into was real estate and then like a marketing agency. So you can, there's a ton of formulas, simple businesses that many people operate that have, the system already set up. Like real estate investing, at the end of the day, it's pretty much cut and dry. It's very simple. You just have to follow the procedure. You have to follow the system, and you can get into that. You can get into a marketing agency, and those are often much easier to start producing cash than building out some crazy new technology company. So,
I agree. I mean, I think the one thing that people forget is that you've got to first you have one goal when you're trying to begin the entrepreneurial journey. That's to make money. Yep. It's a really simple objective. I call it the law of profit. Do something that generates money. Yep. And that will feed all these other startups that, I've played with a lot of different businesses, but I started a service company a little over 20 years ago and I make millions and it's not fancy, but it's week in and week out, just extraordinary, extraordinary income. And I think you're right. People just, they don't see the value in just getting the fundamentals under their belt.
Yeah. And cash flow is so critical. And that's why I tell people a lot of the time, starting a service-based business at the beginning often is the easiest, because if you have a skill set in anything, you can start getting clients and customers. And it's not necessarily automated or extremely scalable, but you can start making your own money and being your own boss really quickly. And then you can figure out ways to get into other types of businesses or automate the processes and stuff like that. But, some people don't like dealing with clients either or people a lot. So sometimes the service-based business is tricky, but it can be massively profitable and you can build a great business with that without having to worry about raising money and doing all this technology stuff.
no doubt what I say about service companies, why I love service companies and have made a fortune in them is that I only have to do two things in a service company. I only have to do two things. Number one is I have to make the phone ring or create a client request. Okay. So number one, that's, I got singular focus. Number two is I have to be able to hire someone who can provide that service. And there needs to be a margin between A and B that's attractive to me. That is such, for a very simple person like me, that is so scalable. That is so obtainable for my brain. I've done retail and I've done other fancy businesses, but I had dead money on the side, long leases. Service companies, typically you can start those in your garage, your house. You can move them to like a warehouse type of, you know, it's not expensive real estate. It's just so easy to get your brain around. And then you're right, if you're the technician, then initially you can provide some of the services and you know, and that allows you to get started and maybe do some, you know, you're basically doing some of what you're offering, and it's an easy business model. So tell me this.
Yeah.
So what do you wish you would have known when you first got started that you know now?
Yeah, it's a super interesting question. You know, something that I think a good bit about, one of the biggest things, I alluded to this earlier, is working for another startup or another tech company would have been extremely helpful, since that's what I'm doing now. The other thing is really understanding how important cash flow is and recurring revenue is. It's so critical to, you know, making your business just hum along, right, over the long term. If you can create cash flow, and that's why real estate's like a fantastic industry, is because once it's set up, you know, and that's why software too is great, because, you know, especially SaaS, because, yeah, you know, once the software is created, like, you just have to update it, right? And then you just have the recurring income. So those two things were huge. The other thing too is like thinking big, right? I think a lot of people really don't understand how big they can actually become. And, you know, the only way to really, if you're trying to be a millionaire, the only way to be a millionaire is to believe that you can be a millionaire, right? The only way that, you know, people are billionaires is because they actually believe they could be a billionaire. Most people don't even believe that they can do that. So I think that's another huge hurdle to overcome, is just people's personal thoughts and their beliefs in themselves to actually do like what they really want in life. And that's, you know, oftentimes just an internal battle. So having a supportive community and a network of other like-minded people to talk to and ask questions about, you know, within what we're doing, it has been so important for me. And then all the other, you know, people that I see too, with, you know, entrepreneurs and people starting companies as well.
No, you hit it on the head. The problem is that, you know, if you come from a typical home like I did, I mean, I joke about growing up poor, but my mother reminded me the other day, we weren't as poor as I think I was, but I think we were. But the point is that you start with this limited group around you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way it is. And I love my friends, but I look back, like, I knew I had outgrown my friends when, like, one of my closest friends, like, worked for like UPS. And I remember him calling me when he got home that day. And I'm like, look, what are you going to do? He goes, man, I'm going to pop open a beer and I'm going to watch The Simpsons. and I called him like 3 days later and he said the same thing. And I knew then that relationship had run its course.
For sure. And that's the hardest part is, yeah, you know, you have to adapt and change like the people you hang around, your environment, everything. If you really want to change, like if you want to change financially, you need to change your habits, and to change your habits, you have to change your environment and everything else. Right. So you can't keep hanging out with the same people if you want a different life. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's just not attainable. So you have to, you know, I still have, you know, my friends and stuff, but I talk to them about different things. And, you know, we obviously don't hang out as much as we do, but a lot of them are doing the same thing that they were doing 6 years ago after we graduated college, right? That's not how I'm trying to, you know, become.
No, and that's fair. You all. Yeah, and friendships evolve, and some of them are, some friends serve for a season, some serve for a lifetime. That's, I'm old enough to kind of know that. And I have five friends that I went to college with that I still take vacations with and talk to quite a bit, but I don't go to them for financial advice.
Right.
You know, in other words, there's things that I love about them, but business and money's not one of the two. I knew that I love them enough for other things that they brought to the table. They're funny. They make me laugh. They would take a bullet for me. But in regards to business, I had to expand that. And then I met friends that were millionaires. You know, that's when you're around a millionaire, they're different. You know what I mean? I remember when I was with a buddy one time, not a buddy, a guy that I kind of work with, and he drives a Mercedes, and he bought like a Land Cruiser at the time, and he just kind of walked in and he wrote a check. Like I'd never seen anybody do it. Like, so he picks me up in a Land Cruiser. I'm like, well, where? He goes, oh, I just went and bought it. And he goes, the guy was asking me like, how was I going to finance? Like, well, I was planning on writing you a check. And, right. And I never had been around anybody of that. And then it hit me like, okay, wait, there is the different level of
mindset.
Yeah. And he changed everything. Cause I was around this guy and I'm like, well, he's not that much smarter than me, but he's a hard picking worker. He's ambitious. He found his one strike zone and he's picking, stayed in that lane for like 20 years until he turned it into something extraordinary. But yeah, no, I like that. So tell me this, you know, kind of going back to, you know, you kind of shared what you wish you would have known, but you go back to college and one of your buddies says, just give me one piece of startup advice. What's the one piece of startup advice that you would share with people? And this may be repetitive, something you've just shared, but like,
yeah,
we all have like one or two pieces that are like, wow, you better take care of this.
For sure. I think the biggest thing, if you're trying to build a startup, is everything comes down to proof of concept and validation, right? You have to figure out as fast as possible, does anyone want this? And it could be for free, because a lot of companies have made a lot of money selling stuff or creating stuff that people use for free, and they monetize through ads or other ways, right? So you either have to get a bunch of people to use it for free, or you have to get people to pay for it. And you have to figure that out as soon as possible, right? And you can keep iterating, but you have to ask people, you have to find out what people are struggling with or what they're interested in or what they need. And then, you know, after you know, without a shadow of a doubt, there's a bunch of people that want this, then you have to build it. And then that's the execution, everything else comes in. But nothing matters unless you validate the idea, because everyone has ideas.
Like I agree.
Million people have had million-dollar ideas, but none of them execute on it or act. None of them validate it, and then none of them execute on it.
Yeah, I mean, I get a DM every single day about an idea, and I'm like, man, ideas are like armpits. You know, right. Most of us have them. You know, and the other idea, I love the proof of concept. I tell people all the time, get something breathing.
Right.
I don't need a full-grown adult here. I just show me something has a pulse.
Yeah.
That's all you're trying to do. I always tell people, like, the reason why I don't think you ever have to quit your day job right away, or you have to put all this money in, because if you're trying to get proof of concept, you're going at a micro level.
Sure.
And then you start feeding that dragon.
Totally. I 100% would have stayed at, knowing what I know now, I would have stayed at my job much longer. Yeah. And then probably try to work for a startup part-time, stacked cash as an engineer, got rid of all of my college debt and everything else, and then been able to be a beast starting a company and finance everything myself.
I love that, because I'm like, I have this, you know, I spent a lot of time training and talking, and I'm like the, you know, geez, I'm like the antichrist of entrepreneurship, because I'm like, no, you don't, there's 168 hours in a week. Keep your freaking job.
Right.
It's not, you know, earn the right to quit. This is what I tell people, earn the right to leave it.
Yeah.
And just because you started a business is not necessarily earning the right. You know, you can do two things at once. And there's nothing worse than being broke and cash strapped, and then have a startup that's like feeding a picking alligator. And you know, you have no money coming in personally. And then you've got a startup that's, you know, it can be.
I think it depends too on the person's life situation, right? If they have family and kids and a mortgage, they obviously need to stay at their job longer. Yeah. But you do need to prioritize things and make sure that, okay, are you able to put sufficient hours into something new? to get the ball rolling and then be able to leave it. Because for it to really reach scale, you are going to have to commit to it.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
There's a lot of people that have these like zombie businesses that they're like working part-time, but they still have their job because they don't want to commit. And then it can never actually make them the money that it needs to make them. So they kind of,
there's always a point you have to jump off the cliff.
Going on. Exactly. And I think there's a lot of people going through that as well. But everyone's situation is different, and you know, you have to do what's best for you and your family.
Yeah. And I tell people, listen, if you're 25 living in your parents' house or you're living on your buddy's sofa, disregard everything I just shared with you. But if you have responsibilities, you have a mortgage and you have a wife or whatever case situation, you have children, I'm just saying you know, you have to consider those things. And you wouldn't be the first person to keep a job for a year and do two things at once.
Right.
Clearly, there's going to be that point where you jump off the cliff. But I'm just amazed how people like think that's like the first thing you do. And I'm like, no, get some proof. Like you said, get a proof of concept, get proof that you can, you know, actually make money with this. So tell us about your business right now, the app that I just downloaded. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so our whole approach is really building this new network for what we classify as the future of work. So we really believe that the future is self-employed. We think that the traditional corporate 9-to-5 lifestyle is dying. Although, like we were kind of just talking about, it's a great lifestyle for some people, depending on, you know, their.
Exactly. If you want to be a teacher or, you know, certain situations, you're a nurse or whatever, even though if I was a nurse, I would create my own little network and I'd take care of seniors at $45 an hour, but I'll regress.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people need that stable, conservative career and job. But we believe the majority of young people, millennials and Gen Z, want to be their own boss in a way, whether that's being starting a startup or just, you know, a small business or even just being a freelancer and working for companies as a contractor. But they can kind of have the benefit of not setting their own hours. It's much more flexible. They can work remotely. So we're building, in a sense, this new alternative to LinkedIn, but for people who want to be self-employed. If you want a job, a career, what a professional, there's nothing wrong with that. And LinkedIn has built the platform for that. If you want to start a business, if you want to be an entrepreneur or a freelancer, come to Entra, because that's what we've built, right? We're building this to help people start businesses easier and faster and to streamline and make entrepreneurship more accessible. So that's what we're about.
And that's why you're on the show today, because the show is about equipping, encouraging, and educating entrepreneurs. So if you have a product that can help advance entrepreneurs, you're on. If you have wisdom, you're on the show. I mean, that's kind of, you know, or you got an encouraging story, you're on the show. So that's the whole thing here. So tell me this, Michael, how do people, obviously I've downloaded the app, but tell them how to connect with Entra, how do they get it? How do they connect with you? This is where you get the floor.
For sure. Yeah. So you can just sign up for free. It's joinentra.com, or you can, you know, just type it in on either iOS or Android. It's, you know, it's everywhere. Our socials, Join Entra. And I'm always on the app and everything. So if anyone has any questions, they can just message me on there and I'll reply super quick. And yeah, I really appreciate it, Sean. I love everything that you're doing here, and just keep us in the loop if there's any way that we can help, you know, support what you have going on as well.
Well, you guys got a great app. I have Michael Mara, the founder of Entra. That's E-N-T-R-E. If you have the app store like everybody does, and I downloaded it about an hour ago, and my son already had it because he's just graduated from high school and he's an entrepreneur. So he said, Dad, you got to have this. You could, you know, and he's never told me, this is funny though. I was just thinking about it. My son's never, other than Grubhub and Uber, because we were traveling, he's never told me to download an app before. So I have the least amount of apps on my phone humanly possible, because I'm the simplest person. So again, we have Michael Mara, the founder of Entra. Michael, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks so much.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Listen, we equip, we encourage, we educate entrepreneurs, and we will talk again tomorrow.